thank you that your death on the cross and your resurrection was so comprehensive that the enemy was totally and completely defeated. We thank you today, Lord, that sickness is under your feet, that depression is under your feet, that diabetes is under your feet, that condemnation is under your feet. Thank you, Lord, that you are victorious, Lord, in a broken world, in a world with so much sorrow and pain. We rejoice that your power is greater, Lord, than all of it put together. Jesus, you are victorious. And I pray, Lord, just a spirit of victory would touch every one of us, Lord, to help us rise up over every challenge, over every hurdle, Lord, the sicknesses, the problems, the habits, the hurts. Bring us up over those things, Lord, into a place of rest and peace and fellowship with you. Thank you now as we go into your word, Lord, for the illumination of the Holy Spirit, giving us exactly the truth and the light that we need to live for you. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. And the people said amen. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team. Good morning, church family. It's great to be together. I missed you last week. I was not here. Kathy and I were up at our Santa Rosa campus. I want to bring you a really great report from there. The campus is growing. They've more than doubled since we connected with them, and good things are happening. I was delighted to hear that they've been praying the prayer of three. We've been talking about this here at our church and in our campus here in San Jose. In our small groups, we have a prayer of three. When we get together with our small groups, we try to remember to pray for three people that don't know the Lord. We just have a quick time of agreement. Let me encourage you to do that. They've been doing that up in the Santa Rosa campus, God moved. One of the pastors has a son-in-law who had been away from church for years, used to walk with Jesus, and got away and was living in isolation, putting a lot of pressure on the marriage because the wife and the kids would come. The kids were so sad when their dad would stay home from church, and this went on year after year, and it was causing quite a strain, and the wife was thinking, I don't know how much longer I can do this. They started to pray the prayer of three over that young man, and he ended up being in service that Sunday for the first time like in 4 years. And the message was so, you know how the Holy Spirit kind of tailors the message, right? For, you know, right for where you're at. And he said in the middle of the message, he leaned over to his wife and he said, did you tell him what I've been going through? Is he talking about me? And she said, no, this is, you know, that's how the Holy Spirit works. So anyway, we're expecting his life to turn around. So can we give the Lord praise for that? So many good things going on. Let me encourage you in the power of prayer. And we all have family members that we're praying for and believing for. And I know that God is hearing us and listening to us. Real quick, I just want to mention a couple things before I get into the message. One is, yes, the conference. That's a really big deal. That's the biggest deal of the whole year. That's the 19th and the 20th, which is a Friday and a Saturday. I really want you to be there. If you're thinking, I don't know if I'm supposed to go, you're supposed to go. And we brought the price down so low. The speakers and the food and the fellowship, all five campuses coming together for a rousing time. And it's not just going to be great preaching and great food, but there's going to be a chance to fellowship and connect. So it's really going to be a social event. It's really going to feel great to you. So get registered today. I hope to see you there. This is really a big part of our forward momentum. It's not just to get together and have a great conference, but it really maps out the days that are ahead for us, moves us forward together in our mission to reach cities, which is really what we're all about. Touching people everywhere that we can, and that's going to be special. Then also, really quick, you're going to be seeing some changes here in the main auditorium. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be doing a few new things with chairs, so I know everybody has their special spot that they're going to go, what happened to my spot? We're going to be moving the chairs around. We want to make it a little bit more comfortable to be inside the big sections. So we're going to do one more aisle. We're going to experiment with something. And then we're going to finish the stage off with a really beautiful projection system that's going to make the material that we go through, the scriptures and the moments that we share together on the weekend, is going to be much clearer and just a much better experience for us on Sunday. So I want to say thank you. All of that, along with the changes that you see in the women's restroom, which will begin after the conference, you're already seeing a lot of good renovations. I want to say thank you for your financial faithfulness and just being a strong church, a loyal church when it comes to giving. We're finishing the year strong. We have more than enough to do what God has called us to do, and I'm looking forward to our great offering that we have next month in November called the Beyond Offering, which is really our missions offering for reaching new places, and it's not for what's happening here, but it's for outreach. So good things are happening, and thank you very much for your faithfulness and your participation. Let's take a teaching outline, and let's get into the message. I'm excited to share the word with you today. We're continuing in our series called Together, Doing Life and Ministry as a Team. I don't want anyone to be alone in life or in ministry. So that's what we've been talking about, the power of together, which is a very strong New Testament word. God wants us as his people to do life together, to do everything together as we serve him. And every true follower of Jesus Christ has something to give. Every one of us has a ministry. Ministry isn't something that you get together and watch me do. Ministry is something that all of us do. As you read through the New Testament, we all have a call. We all have a gift. And when we do it together, it goes to another level. But as we do life and ministry together, a couple of issues arise because, and I think this will be pretty relevant to what our nation is going through right now. What happens is when people who are from different backgrounds, different generations, different places in life, different perspectives in life, they come together. Together can be elusive because we are different and we see things differently and we think differently about all kinds of things. And so we get close and then we find out how different we are, and then the temptation is to break up. The temptation is to give up on each other and not, but that's exactly what the enemy wants. What the enemy wants is he wants us to fault find. He wants us to pick out something that we don't like about our friend or our neighbor or our brother or our sister, our wife, our husband, our neighbor, whatever it is. Find a problem and then let that thing separate us. But God is actually about us coming together. So when we come together, as we're talking about today, come together in ministry, come together to do something, not just to have a good Sunday service, but I mean to really accomplish something in the world. That those differences, rather than dividing us and creating a problem for us, actually enhance what we do. And that's what I want to talk about today. God has a way of bringing different people together for a purpose. Now, sometimes the fact that I'm different from you, you're different from your wife or husband or ministry partner or whatever, sometimes that difference can be aggravating and irritating. I'll never forget it was one of my early, I've been to India about 4 or 5 times over the years, and I think this was either my first or second time to India. We were way up in the north of India, and you know, that's a long flight to get there, and then you have these 10-hour train rides, and then these 4-hour bus rides, and then you get in the Jeep, and you go another 2 hours, and you find these 600 or 700 or 800 hungry pastors preaching the gospel, walking by foot, some of them pastoring 5 or 6 locations 10 miles apart. They don't even have a bicycle. They just walk. One day they preach in one village. Next day they preach in another village. That's their whole life. And so we're there equipping them and encouraging them. It's a good purpose, right? It's a good thing to do that. And we spent a lot of money and we brought a lot of ministry. There was about 10 or so of us pastors from different parts of the country. We made up the teaching team and we were, you know, sharing the load, of course. But it was amazing to me. Of course, India is just such a different culture than the United States. The food is amazing. The people is amazing. The religion is very different there. The culture is very different. And so there was a lot of heat. There was a lot of reasons why people could get irritated. But what started happening on this team, it was surprising to me because these are mature men and women who are leaders in the body of Christ. But as we came together, I noticed the differences were starting to get like a anti-magnetic, like we were repelling each other. Pretty soon, people were jockeying for the best seats on the bus and jockeying. These are mature Christian leaders, the best speaking slots. One guy was complaining that he wasn't getting the right attention that his ministry deserved, you know, and that we should all kind of make a spot for him in the ministry. And it was getting weird. How many have been a part of something that was just getting kind of weird? And I felt like, man, I've come a long way. I don't want to be a part of all this stuff. Before you knew it, we had broken up into like three factions of people that were seeing things different. These are leaders in the body of Christ. And then the spiritual warfare started. It was really crazy. This one guy woke up in the middle of the night. He was hallucinating. He was screaming. He was yelling in his room. Stuff was crawling on the ceiling. He was freaking out. We had to sedate this poor guy. This is one of the pastors on the team. I'm like, is it time to go yet? Is it? I want to go back to my house. I want to go sleep in my bed. And it got, we instituted a daily prayer time right away because we hadn't done that. This was like on day three, it started to get really weird. So we started to pray together every day. But by that time, the factions were too deep. The feelings were too raw. And about a third of the preaching team just took off right in the middle of the tour and said, we don't want to be a part of this. And I was like, what is going on? Is it the heat? Is it the culture? Is it the spiritual warfare? And I realize sometimes even the strongest, most mature people, our differences can be the thing that really undo us and really threaten the mission. We continued with that mission and we finished up strong, but some of those guys, we never heard from them again. I think about the tragedy of a broken team, the tragedy of a broken relationship, all because of differences. So I want to address this a little bit to us as a local church, as a movement of churches, as a church planting movement. For us, we care about the lost, and I don't ever want our differences to break our mission. How many are with me on that? So the focus of this message today would be one simple thought, and that is that healthy ministry flows out of healthy relationships. Healthy ministry, you know, the job that God has called us to do, the influence that He wants us to have, healthy ministry flows out of healthy relationships. An unhealthy church or an unhealthy ministry team has nothing to offer a broken world. But if we can get healthy, if we can be strong and full of love, then we have an answer. We can make a difference in the world. Can I have an amen this morning? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 is a verse that really speaks to us. It said, Christ makes the whole body fit what? Together, that's our word. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. The whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. If you have a pen or a pencil, underline that first phrase, Christ makes the whole body fit together. It's amazing that God could take people that are young, old, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, first generation, second generation, male, female, rich, poor, from all over the world and bring us together as a body and make us fit, not just fit together where we tolerate each other, where we somewhat behave around each other, but He wants to bring us so we fit together how? Perfectly. Only Christ could do that. And look, I've been over all over the world, 26 nations, I've preached all over the world, and I have seen the body of Christ fitting together so beautifully. Despite the things that you see and even stories like I just told you, there is a way that Jesus can knit people together through love. He makes us fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. Did you know that you have a special role to play in the body of Christ? If you're a part of the church, you have a special calling. You have a role to play. You have a slot on the team. You're a part of this. And each person does their own special work. And as that happens, look carefully. The whole body, the whole body of Christ is healthy. Everyone say healthy. Wow, that's a word that's so important to me. A lot of people are worried about big. I'm not worried about big. I'm worried about healthy. Because I've seen big churches that are not healthy. I've seen little churches that are not healthy. To me, it's not about size. It's about what's actually taking place. is their health? How do people treat each other? Are they functioning together? Are they getting something done, right? So health is important. The whole body is healthy, growing, I like that, and full of what? So that's the context. Love is the greatest commandment. Love is the main thing about the main thing in the Bible. And love is where it's all really all what it's really all about. So to answer the question, or maybe to respond to the problem that we're talking about here today, can people who are different, can we work together? The answer is clearly yes. We can be healthy and growing strong as we follow Jesus Christ. How is that possible? If we go back a couple of chapters in Ephesians chapter 2, we find the answer. The only way that people who are different from each other could possibly work together in a perfect way is because of Jesus. It says in chapter 2, but God who is rich in mercy, because, read this with me, because of his what? Great love with which he loved. It's not enough for us to understand that he loves us. I want you to know it's great love. God has great love for you. How does God feel about me? I don't know. I haven't been so good this week. I kind of messed up. I didn't tithe. I didn't read my Bible. God has great love for you. You are deeply, deeply loved by God. And your flaws and imperfections are no surprise to him, believe me. He saw that before you were ever born. He chose to die for you before you ever knew that he loved you. He saw your strengths and your weaknesses. I tell you, friend, the love of God for you is greater than what you can imagine. His great love for us, with which he loved us, when we were dead in trespasses, sin destroys. And we were dead in it, yet he made us alive by ourselves. Is that what it says? All we need is me, right? Is that what it says? No, he made us alive how? Together with Christ, for by what? Grace you have been saved. Come on, somebody, say, I'm saved. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us to together in heavenly places in Christ. There's so much here. Oh, I could spend the whole message just on this verse. Together with Christ, saved. Together, made, sitting together in heavenly places. In other words, we have authority with Christ. We are heirs. We have been joined with Jesus Christ. We have power and authority in him, and we have that together. There's something that happens when we get together and then sitting together in heavenly places, raised up together, seated together, ruling and reigning with him together. I tell you, the story of the New Testament, the story of what Jesus has done, is not complete when you are by yourself. It only works when we do this together. Can I have an amen? So it's by grace. Well, let me talk for a few minutes about what doing ministry together could look like for us as a local church, for all God's people around the world, even though we are different. Even though the person sitting next to you is very different than you. This will help your marriage. This will help your work life. This will help you wherever you are. This will help you at school, getting along with people. Here's four thoughts. Number one, doing ministry together is about honoring together. Honoring together, I think honoring is a lost art. It certainly is discouraging to see so much disrespect in the world. Nobody I know wants to be disrespected. Nobody I know wants to be treated badly. And yet, there's so much bad treatment of people in the world. And sadly, that creeps into the church where we're not always on our A game when it comes to how we treat each other. God wants to restore honor to our families, to our marriages, to the body of Christ, to our neighborhoods, to our schools, certainly to the United States of America. Could we all say amen to that? A little bit more honor would help us, a little bit more kindness, respect. You say, what does it mean to honor somebody? I'm not sure I know how to honor. Two things really quick. Who is this person? How has God created them? And who are they to you? To honor somebody, you've got to know a couple of things. Who a person has been created by God to be? I mean, uniquely. So some people are really wild and extroverted. Some people are quiet. Some people are upfront people. Some people are analytical. Some people are emotional. Some people are compassionate. Their heart breaks for the broken. Others are very administrative, and they're great leaders, and they get jobs done. Some people are helpers. Everybody has kind of a thing. We all have been given a certain motor, a certain passion in life, something that really appeals, and that comes from God. The problem is when that unique thing about you is irritating to someone else. That's where we know we need to apply honor. Because the great thing about honor is our differences don't have to divide us. Our differences can actually be celebrated. It's actually very good that people are good at different things. And you know what? It's very good that we don't all think the same. I said, that's really good that we... That's really healthy. Because we're not robots. Nobody wants to be a robot. Nobody wants to be programmed or forced. So what God has made important to you, what God has made special to you, might be important to you. And of course, at that point, you'd say, well, how come everybody doesn't see it? And part of the way we get better is by you adding your part to the mix, to the whole. So who is the person next to you? Who were they created by God to be? Now, bless them to be that person. Don't force them to be like you. Bless them to be who they were created to be. Bless them to care about what they were created to care for. Bless them. Support them. If your wife is different than you, stop trying to make her like somebody else. Honor her for who she is. And then the second part of this is the position that God has given that person in your life. You may not like the position that that person is in. Of course, if you chose to be married to them, that would be your fault, right? No, this is my wife. This is my son. This is my brother. What can we honor each other for? We can honor each other as brothers, as family, as sisters, all right? I may not like who's the mayor or who the police officer is or who my neighbor is. But you know, if God put them in that position, I have to accept who they are and where they are. I look at all this pain and turmoil been taking place in our country. And it wasn't just this week. It's been for months and months and years and years. Actually, I have a lot of views on that. You didn't come here today to hear my views on all that. I have a lot of strong opinions and things. But one thing that I actually believe about where our country is I don't know if we're all that much worse than ever we used to be. I just think because of 24-hour news, it feels like the whole world is on fire. Everybody's hair is on fire. But most of this stuff has been happening for hundreds and hundreds of years. Whatever side of it you are on, it's the fact that it's on your radio and on your podcast and on your television screen 24 hours a day that's ramping us up. I'm not saying it's not serious stuff, but I'm just saying it feels like we're amplifying all the ugly. And in the midst of that, there's division, there's friction, there's a problem that's taking place. But I want us to remember, whatever your positions are on whatever the issue of the day, and there's lots of issues, right? Whatever your position is, would you kindly please remember Matthew 7, verse 12? Could we look at that just a minute? In everything, treat others as you would want them. This is Jesus, right? In everything, treat others as you would want them to treat you. Anybody remember what that's called? Golden rule? In other words, it's pure gold. It's in everything. No. Not everything. If I disagree with you about politics, I can kill you. Because that's... Or if I disagree with you about economics, no, at that point, I can kill you. No, in everything, everyone say everything. In everything, treat others as you would want them to treat you, for this fulfills the law and the prophets. Let me just say quickly about this, and you can make your own application. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. About 90% of the pain in our world disappears like that if we do this. About 90% of the mess in families, about 90% of the mess in the United States disappears that fast if every single one of us gets on this bus right here, right now. I want to challenge you to treat other people well, to honor people. The other thing I'll say about this is on this depends all the law and prophets, so that if we are followers of Jesus and we are not treating other people well as we would like to be treated, if that's not happening, we're flunking the core of our faith. There would be pain in the world if everybody did this. There would still be earthquakes and sickness and so on, but 90% of it would not be there. There would be no abuse. There would be no racism. There would be no hatred. There would be no division. There'd be no false accusation. There'd be no lies. There'd be no rape. There'd be nothing if we would just get on board with this. Jesus absolutely understands what we need to do. That's all I want to say about honoring. It's just a wake-up call, and if you agree with what I'm saying, wave at me right now. Just say, that's good. All right. All right. Can we get on board with this? Let's treat each other well across our differences. The fact that we see each other differently is not an excuse to attack and put down and destroy each other. Okay, enough said. Second, working together. Ministry is not just about honoring together, but it's about working together. Every part is doing its own special work. And I want you to know, as I said a few moments ago, God has given you a special calling, a special role to play. You know, in a church like ours, it's important for us to understand the whole New Testament is about not just a few superstars doing ministry. The New Testament is about all of God's people having something to do. If you have a job or you go to school, you have a calling in your workplace and in your school. If when you're at church, you have a calling in that place. You're not just a passive observer. God wants to use you wherever you are. I'm so excited about this concept that I wrote a book, and I've actually got the first copy of it. Just came in this last week. It's called Let's Talk About Teams. This is a book that I'm excited about because I believe, of course, everything that I wrote, but I believe it's going to free people. I believe it's going to free people to understand that there's a place for every person on God's team, that each of us is important in the body of Christ, and that God has given us a job to do and that we can do it together. But again, when we do our jobs together, sometimes we will rub each other the wrong way. Working together on a team, being married, doing family, doing church together is fraught with the kind of friction that I described when I first started this message. People start to irritate each other and there is friction. I love my wife, but she aggravates me and I aggravate her. Can I get real for a minute? I mean, there are things about each other because she's different than me. I love my team. I love these men and women that are on this team, but I aggravate them. And they aggravate me sometimes. You say, what's wrong? Is something wrong with our church? No, that's exactly how it's supposed to be. Because friction works to our advantage. Anybody here like Apple watches, Apple computers, Apple phones, Apple products? I have way too many of them. I don't even want to tell you how many Apple devices I have. I have more Apple devices than children and grandchildren. It's not healthy, but it's a great company. And the company started right here in the Silicon Valley, right? Steve Jobs, you guys have heard of him, and kind of a genius business. I think the most valuable business that's ever been created in the history of businesses is Apple. He tells a story about a neighbor when he was growing up. He's 14 or 15 years old, and there was kind of a lonelier, older guy who lived down the street. His wife had passed away, and he took an interest in Steve Jobs, and Steve Jobs tells this story often about the one day that he invited him over, brought him into his garage, and there in his garage, this elderly man had a coffee can connected by a rubber band to a motor. And he showed him that. It was a little homemade contraption. And then he said, now follow me. And he took him back in the backyard, right, into the planter beds of the backyard. And there they gathered up a bunch of different rocks, black rocks, white rocks, multicolored rocks, rocks that were dull, rocks that were had rough edges and so on. He brought them and he took it and he put them into that coffee can with Steve Jobs watching. And he put a little grit and a little bit of liquid, I believe, put in there and then put the lid on that thing and started the engine turning. And Steve Jobs would often tell the story of the noise that that thing would make, the terrible clanking and the awful. He wanted to just get away from the sound. But the man encouraged him, come back tomorrow and let's take a look at this. So sure enough, he did. They came back the next day and the motor was still rolling. But the sound, the clanking wasn't as bad. It was still noisy, but somehow the sound was a little bit different. He took the lid off the coffee can and opened it up. And here these rough rocks that were so different from each other suddenly were all polished and beautiful. They had a sheen and a luster to them. And that sheen that was caused by the friction and the rubbing actually brought the beauty out in the stones as they turned. And Jobs would often tell this story to his teams, to his employees, that when you first get together, your differences will create so much friction, but your differences will not break you. They will actually make each of you on the team better. Isn't that a great story? And I want to say to you that are married and you that are experiencing friction in life or, you know, challenges at work or whatever, you're just praying, God, get me out of this can. It's terrible. I hate this. But what you don't realize is that God is the one that put you in that can, and he's going to leave you there because he's making you better. Friction is good. And what happens in the friction is the beauty that is in each of us, the black stone, the white stone, the brown stone, the beauty comes out as we rub and all that noise, and that God is at work creating beauty in us as we work through our friction points on the team. Proverbs 27:17 says, in the same way that iron sharpens iron, so a person sharpens the character of his friend. Isn't that good? How many of you are in the can right now? Point to the person who is irritating you and... No, don't do that. Don't do that. See this? You see what I get? You see what I get? Bring it on, honey. Just... I'm smooth. Let's go quickly. I'm running out of time. I got to finish the... I won't be able to finish this whole message, but let me just at least give you the third point. The third point is growing together. Keep going. Just go to number three. You can play guessing games about the points under number three. The third point is growing together. You know, life is about growing. And I want to read... Sometimes the way we put pressure on each other isn't healthy. You know, every person's got a gift, every person's got a talent and an ability, but if we just have one kind of ministry or one kind of track that people run along, it doesn't always bring out the beauty that's in that person. There's a famous story by Clifton and Nelson from a book that they wrote called Soar With Your Strengths. I don't know if you've seen it, but here's the parable. Use your imagination and see if this parable speaks to you about sometimes the way we grow through our differences. Imagine there is a meadow. In that meadow, there's a duck, a fish, an eagle, an owl, a squirrel, and a rabbit. They decide that they want to have a school so they can be smart just like people. With the help of some grown-up animals, they come up with a curriculum they believe will make a well-rounded animal. The curriculum would be running, swimming, tree climbing, jumping, and flying. On the first day of school, little rabbit combed his ears and went hopping off to running class. There, he was a star. He ran to the top of the hill and back as fast as he could go, and oh, did it feel good. He said to himself, I can't believe it. At school, I get to do what I'm best at. The instructor said, Rabbit, you really have a talent for running. You have great muscles in your rear legs. With some training, you could get even more out of every hop. The rabbit said, I love school. I get to do what I like to do, and I get to learn to do it better. The next class, however, was swimming. When the rabbit smelled the chlorine, he said, "Wait, wait, rabbits don't like to swim." The instructor said, "Well, you may not like it now, but 5 years from now, you'll know it was a good thing for you." In the tree climbing class, a tree trunk was set at a 30-degree angle so all the animals had a chance to succeed. The little rabbit tried so hard that he hurt his leg. In jumping class, the rabbit got along just fine. In flying class, however, he had a problem. So the teacher gave him a test and discovered that he should join the remedial flying class. In remedial flying, the rabbit had to practice jumping off a cliff. They told him if he'd just work hard enough, eventually he'd succeed. The next morning, he went on to swimming class. The instructor said, "Today we're going to jump in the water." "Wait, wait," the rabbit said. "I talked to my parents about swimming. They didn't learn to swim. Rabbits don't swim. We don't even like to get wet. I'd like to drop this course." The instructor said, "You can't drop it. It's past the add drop period. At this point, you have a choice. You can either jump in or flunk." The rabbit jumped in. He panicked. He went down once. He went down twice. Bubbles came up. The instructor saw that he was drowning and pulled him out. The animals had never seen anything quite as funny as this wet rabbit who looked more like a rat without a tail. So they chirped and jumped and barked and laughed and mocked the rabbit. The rabbit was more humiliated than he'd ever been in his life. He wanted desperately to get out of class that day. He was so glad when class was over. He thought that he would head home and that his parents would understand him and help him. When he arrived, he said to his parents, "I don't like school. I just want to be free." His parents said, "If rabbits are going to get ahead, you have to get a diploma." The rabbit said, "I don't want a diploma." The parents said, "You're going to get a diploma whether you want one or not." They argued back and forth, and finally the parents made the rabbit go to bed. In the morning, the rabbit headed off to school with a slow hop. Then he remembered that the principal had said, "Anytime you have a problem as a student, remember the counselor's door is always open." When he arrived at school, he hopped into the chair in the counselor's office and said, "I don't like school." And the counselor said, "Tell me about that." And the rabbit did. And the counselor said, "Rabbit, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. You don't like school because you don't like swimming. I think I have diagnosed that correctly. Rabbit, I'll tell you what we'll do. You're doing just fine in running. I don't know why you need to work on running. What you need to work on is swimming. So I'll arrange it from this time forward that you don't have to go to running class anymore. Now you can have 2 periods of swimming." This is going the wrong way for the rabbit. When the rabbit heard that, he threw up. As the rabbit hopped out of the counselor's office, he looked up and saw his old friend, wise old Al. After listening to the rabbit's sad tale, cocked his head and said, "Rabbit, life doesn't have to be that way. We could have schools and businesses, and I'll add churches, where people are allowed to concentrate on what they do well." Rabbit was inspired. He thought when he graduated, he would start a business where the rabbits would do nothing but run, the squirrels would just climb trees, and the fish could just swim. As he disappeared into the meadow, he sighed softly to himself and said, "Oh, what a great place that would be." How many would like it if the body of Christ became a place where you didn't have to be like anybody else, but you just do what God has created you to do? Let the rabbits run. Can I have an amen here? So be who you are, but recognize that you'll only grow when you're on a team. If you are by yourself, you only have one great thing that you can do. And if that's all you got to do, that's great. But the truth is, life is more than running. And instead of just pressing each other into the same broken mold, let's celebrate the diversity and come together as a family and realize that when your strength is added to my strength, is added to your strength, together we can accomplish anything. Come on. The last thing I'll say as we get ready to close, the last part of doing ministry together is not just growing together, but it's shining together, shining together. You remember the tumbler? Where does the shine come from, ladies and gentlemen? The shine comes from the friction. And yes, you're facing problems in your marriage, in your school life, in your work life. There's friction. You might even have friction with one or two people here in the church. Who knows? It might even be me. But at the end of the day, if we stay together, we're not just going to have friction. We're going to have the shine. We're going to have the sheen. We're going to have the glow, the beauty. As discouraging as it can be to listen to the news, as broken as so many of us are about so much of what we read and hear every day on the news, it could be like, man, America's going downhill fast. Man, America's just all the friction, all the tension. But you know what I really believe? If we could just reintroduce that lubricant of love, reintroduce that into the tumbler, if we could just pour a little of that honor and a little of that love, instead of our differences breaking us, they could actually make us better. And in that way, I would have great hope for America. I would be encouraged that we don't all have to think the same way. We don't all have to act the same way. But if we just honor each other and love each other and grow together, there's going to be a shine that'll come to each of us. Same is true in a family. Same is true in our church. Let's don't focus on our differences. Let's focus on what we have in common, which is Jesus Christ, right? His love. Everybody say love. And His grace. Are you glad for the grace of God today? So here's the secret. If you want to be healthy, you got to be with other people that aren't like you. You got to get along. You got to work together. And together, everything gets better. Amen. Bow your heads. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for the healing power of your presence. Thank you for the light of Scripture shining on the pathway that we're walking on. Being parents, being on teams, being students, being connecting with people that are different than us can feel very scary, Lord. But I pray, Lord, that you would remind us again and again by the Holy Spirit how to treat each other, how to work together, how to build great teams, great families, how to build great churches, great cities, Lord, how to build a great nation. Keep us on that path, Lord. Don't let us blow apart. And I pray for those that are in times of friction where it's really shaken them up. It's really caused them to think, I don't know if I can stay in this marriage. I don't know if I can stay in this neighborhood. I don't know if I can connect to this person. Lord, I pray that you would heal our divisions and let our frictions, Lord, be the things that redeem us instead of destroy us. I pray that the beauty of each person in our church would be brought out through the process and that we would reflect Jesus beautifully, beautifully in the earth today. I thank you for that, Lord. Just keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed for just one more moment. We're going to close the service in about 4 or 5 minutes. But before we do, I just want to talk to somebody that might be here. You've heard me talking throughout this service and the songs we've sung, communion. You've heard about Jesus and his great love. You've heard about sin and the problem that separates us from God and how Jesus is the answer and how his death had a purpose, and that was to redeem us, that we could be forgiven. We could have a new life through him. He has the power to do that because he rose from the dead. That proves he has the power to forgive our sins and give us a brand new life. He's the only one that can do that. So before we close the service, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'd just like to know if there's somebody here that, and I would never embarrass you, but you would just lift your hand and say, Pastor David, I'm making a decision today. Please pray for me. I'm turning my life over to Jesus. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to invite him into my life. If that's you, love to pray for you, and I would not embarrass you, but just with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand so I can see who you are? Just put your hand up. God bless you. God bless you in the back. Thank you. It's wonderful. You can have the assurance of salvation. Over to my left, thank you. Just wherever you are, lift it up. Pastor, pray for me. I need to begin a new life in Christ. Thank you. Lord, I pray for these four that have lifted their hands, and who knows who's watching online, and you know the thoughts and intents of all of our hearts. I'm asking, Lord, for every person that needs a brand new beginning, Lord, would you give them the power of the Holy Spirit? Do that miracle in them to take away their sins and give them a brand new life. As they invite you in, Lord, as they invite you in, may you be glorified and may their lives be forever changed. In Jesus' name, Father, I praise you for that. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? Four or five people just saying, hey, I'd like to start a new life with Christ today. There was five in the first service. I don't know, online. It's what it's all about. Just, you know, preaching the gospel, leading people to Jesus. We're going to close the service here with some singing, and the ushers are going to serve. I want to thank you for giving and sowing. If you're giving digitally online, thank you for that. If you're giving with the physical container, thank you for your giving. We'll serve everyone. And then Pastor Chris is going to come in just a moment and close the service. Let's worship the Lord together. Enjoy a moment further in God's presence.
Blessed by that word this morning. Just say thank you to Pastor David. That was awesome. Tumbling rocks, flying rabbits. That's amazing. I asked my wife, am I kind of smooth yet? She says, you're working on it. So I'm going to pray a prayer. How many know it's by the Holy Spirit that we're only able to do what Pastor shared this morning? Because when we try ourselves to do this, we will fail. But I want to pray that blessing, because there's an anointing here to enable us to do what we heard this morning. Before that, though, I want to just highlight, we have a lot of the different ministries here showcased out in the lobby after the service here. Head on out there and talk to the people. Find out where you can be a 10. Find out where you can shine. Be a part of a team. Ask the questions, and we'll be able to help you out, get you connected here this morning. Also, we're going to be praying for Ricardo. Anybody that's got a friend of our brother here, some of you guys in the men's ministry band, he's going to be moving to North Carolina. So we'll be praying for him up here afterwards. Also, if you need prayer, we got the prayer teams up here afterwards. So, Father, we thank you for this day that you've gathered us together. You're doing a work, Lord. We are rocks being tossed about to smooth, to bring you glory. And we just thank you, Holy Spirit, this day that you are working to join us together, Lord. And every one of us here have a purpose, have a calling. We are being joined together to be a reflection of who you are, Jesus. And so, Lord, take your Holy Spirit and just pour that out upon every one of us here. And Lord, open the doors so every one of us here can have an opportunity to connect, to grow, and to bring you glory. So, Holy Spirit, we speak that blessing over everyone today. And as we leave, Lord God, we're going to go into the mission field to make a difference in this world.